This is the Karen, Your Career Coach podcast, where we explore the world of work with all things jobs and careers.
And we're your hosts, Jemima Nash and Lachlan Watts. Hello, and welcome back to the Karen, Your Career Coach podcast. Today, we'll be speaking to a previous client of Karen's about her journey from secondary school through to university and now their graduate role, as well as all the challenges that came along that journey, such as choosing subjects and career pathways, which are challenges many young adults come across, particularly as they head into their final exam periods.
Kate Pease finished high school in 2017 and went straight to university to study a Bachelor of Commerce. Kate recently graduated from university and has landed herself a graduate role. We started by asking Kate what her dream was when she was in high school and if she ever thought she would end up where she is now.
I mean, I think this is probably an answer that you'll get from most people, but I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do while I was in school. I was a bit of a, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, like nothing really stood out to me. I wasn't sure where my core skill set was lying. Basically, when I was in BCE, I just tried to pick all of the subjects that I was genuinely interested in, and I don't think I picked any based on prerequisites for courses, except for maybe methods, because I was potentially interested in commerce. But apart from that, I just tried to do subjects that had always sort of piqued my interest.
Was there subjects that you didn't want to do but you did end up doing?
That's such a good question. And honestly, I feel like it's just so tricky because the majority of people I went to school with definitely had to do subjects that were prerequisites that they didn't really feel like doing. I think it's hard to think about at the time when you're in secondary school, but the amount of time that you're studying that subject, in the scheme of things, it's not a huge amount of time, and it is going to give you a good sort of foundation to go into your tertiary studies and have a bit of a launch pad. So yeah, I think just like keeping in mind that it is just going to be a really good foundation for your tertiary studies, and in the scheme of things, it's not a huge chunk of time, but yeah, it might just be one of those ones that takes a bit more time and energy than the others.
How did you go about choosing university offers?
I mean, I think for me, there was two big considerations, which would probably be the same for everyone, which is like the uni that I wanted to go to, and then the area of study that I was interested in. And the choice of Melbourne Uni basically just came down to the fact that I knew a few people who had gone there and had a really good experience. And I also really liked the Melbourne model, which is basically like you can't do a double degree, but you have to do a certain amount of units outside of your core area of study. So yeah, that was, you know, tick Melbourne Uni, I'll put that as my first preference. And then in terms of choosing an actual degree, it was pretty much between arts and commerce. And I thought in the end that I'd prefer to do a commerce degree with arts subjects, as like the subjects that were outside of my core area of study, than an arts degree. And that was just because it sort of lined up better. Commerce lined up better with certain like postgraduate courses that I was potentially interested in.
How did you first feel when you kind of walked onto that university campus? Because obviously you got the experience that some people are missing out on at the moment, but probably studied in person. So what was the atmosphere like for you? Did you feel like you belonged in the space, or what did you do to make yourself feel comfortable in the university environment?
It was a bit of an anticlimax, but I feel like that sounds so ungrateful for people who have missed out on their first year or two of uni. Honestly, like I had a great experience in my first year. I was fairly like quiet in school, but when I got to uni, I just decided to try and like sign up for everything and do as much as I could. So I went on commerce camp, which was like just before all the classes started, and that's like where I met everyone that ended up being my core group of friends at uni. And yeah, just going to like freshers event and things like that to try and meet everyone, as well as more like academic extracurricular activities and clubs and things like that. I think that was what made the experience of my first couple of years. And if I hadn't have done that, it probably would have felt like a big anticlimax, like walking onto campus just to go to classes. I think what I remember more is like going to sausage sizzles and like pub crawls and things like that. Not that you necessarily have to do those things to like socialize and get to meet people. But yeah, it's definitely like those kinds of activities that stick out more to me than like my lectures and my tutorials.
I also wanted to touch on choosing your majors, because I know for a lot of people, you choose your course, which is great, and then you get to this point where you have to pick what your major is, which is probably a question that a lot of us at the start didn't know we were going to get, or it's just another added layer to the process. So how did you go about choosing the areas that you wanted to major in, or picking those extra subjects that you wanted to add on to your degree?
So my majors were something I picked pretty late. I went into uni on the first day where they have all the booths outlining all the different majors, and I pretty much picked marketing and management, which wasn't what I ended up doing, but I just thought those are the least mathsy ones I can think of. It was probably actually a mistake to go into it thinking on the first day I'm going to pick what my majors are and those have to be it and that's what I'm working towards, because for the first couple of years I did really think that that was what I would end up doing, and it just took away a bit of flexibility and I wasn't really being open-minded and considering other possibilities. So luckily when I realized I was interested in finance, there weren't that many first year and second year subjects that you needed to do to major in it. So I could transfer over to finance and management pretty easily. But I think for other people who are picking their majors, just trying to be as open-minded as possible from the start so that you don't limit yourself and realize down the track that it's impossible for you to major in the subject you're really interested in.
Progressing from university into the career is kind of a bit of a process that can be really daunting for a lot of people. So how did you help yourself to progress into the corporate world? And do you sort of have any tips for anyone going through this process at the moment?
I think my advice is definitely to start looking into the careers side of things as early as possible. But I think if you're in second year of a 3-year degree, it's probably like a good time to start going to some careers fairs and looking at internships. Internships was the thing that got me. Like, I felt like I just started my degree and suddenly everyone was doing internships and I was like, what happened? So I ended up sort of dipping my toe in a bit with a finance accounting internship, and that was my first foray into the world of careers. And yeah, that was probably like one of the most valuable experiences I've had during my degree. It was still while I was studying. So yeah, I guess I just say that thinking about careers is probably something that should happen a while before you actually graduate. And for me, it was something that started a year or two before I graduated.
Also, we wanted to touch on sort of your relationship with Karen, or working with Karen. We just wanted to sort of touch on there. So how do you think this has benefited you in your career journey?
So I went to see Karen in between graduating secondary school and starting uni. And I am just the type of person where I really like to know what I'm getting into. And with uni, I had no idea what was about to happen. So I just printed off all of the information that UniMelb had sent me about choosing subjects and picking majors, and I took it to Karen and just said, help me, like I need to make sense of all of this. And Karen, given her experience working with other, I guess, uni students, was able to tell me that, you know, if you want to major in accounting, for example, these are all the prerequisite subjects that you'll need to be doing, and these are the spots they would need to be fit in. So that only leaves you with this many other spots to do the subjects you want to do. And I thought, oh, gee, that's not many spots left to do the subjects I want to do, so probably won't major in accounting. And it just, like, I didn't figure out everything I needed to figure out before I started uni, but it helped me just make some really initial decisions that guided my choices, like, further along the track. And I felt like I was going into uni with a bit more knowledge, and yeah, I was just like a bit more comfortable.
So looking back overall, did you ever really think that you'd end up where you are now in terms of your career or what you studied at university? Like, we know sometimes it's not always a straight process, like things change, there's a few different options, but did you think that you would end up where you are now?
So yeah, not at all surprised that I ended up doing commerce, and I was so happy with that decision. It was a great degree for me. In terms of my career, yeah, I was pretty surprised to end up in consulting, which obviously I haven't started yet, but I always kind of thought that I'd be doing something quite repetitive and like meticulous, something like accounting, even though like I ended up ruling that out quite quickly. But yeah, it wasn't what I expected myself to do. It was through like getting involved in uni to the fullest extent that I realized that that was what I wanted to do.
So Kate explained in the interview the ways that she chose her VCE subjects and then her university degree, which is a process that many students, particularly in school, can find a bit daunting and difficult. So Karen, what do you think that students should really keep in mind throughout this process when it comes to picking those VCA subjects and then going into picking that course?
Yeah, I work with a lot of year 9s, 10s, as they're choosing their subjects for electives and then up into years 11 and 12 subjects. And I always say, study what you're good at, study what you love. And if there's something that you need, then yes, seriously consider studying those subjects as well. But I would always caution that with, make sure you talk to that subject teacher. Say, for example, the maths example that Kate gave, where she said, I didn't really choose my subjects based on prerequisite subjects for university courses, except for math methods. And the key about that one is math methods is needed for a few courses, being such as commerce that Kate alluded to, and also things like engineering, physiotherapy. It's not a prerequisite for all medical degrees. So anyway, if, for example, a student has a high aspiration for something like medicine or commerce and thinks, okay, methods, their own maths teacher will be their best guide to, like, here you're sitting at B+ or however they score them. I recommend this or that maths curriculum for you, because you don't want to be flitting around the two. If you start methods for year 11 and then you're finding it super difficult, if you then transition to general, it's a different curriculum entirely. So you'll be on catch up. So you don't really want to be doing that. And moving on to the subject choice of courses, well, that again is kind of like, it requires a lot of forethought and research. And Kate alluded to why she was attracted to the Melbourne model. Well, that's what we call a comprehensive degree. And then alternative type of degree to the broad or comprehensive course is something that we refer to as specialist courses. So they'll have something in the title that'll give away what, you know, that's leading you towards. For example, it might be a Bachelor of Education, and Kate was talking about arts or commerce. They are very, very broad.
Yeah, definitely. Because I know I definitely had that experience of doing methods in year 11 and then dropping it for year 12 because maths was not my thing. And you're right, it's not the same subject, and it was probably a little bit harder than I thought it was going to be.
It's the same with me. Jemima mentioned that she did methods in year 11. I did methods up until year 10. And I had a conversation with my maths teacher because in terms of university degrees that I was looking at, I was wanting to go down a more writing-based course. So I was wondering if I was needing to do maths in VCE. To his point, he said, look, you're very capable of being able to do math methods, but you're not going to need it. So he recommended that you drop down to general just for an easier workload.
Yeah, well, that's one way of putting it. But also it's around where your talents are. If you've got a skill set that you're highly numerical, even if you don't need it, do it, you know, because some people have a fascination for numbers. Not me. But if you absolutely love solving problems with numbers, then sure, take it, because then it'll keep your options open. So even if you're not thinking that you want to go into to become a physiotherapist, for example, or whatever it might be, if you have that skill set, then there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't go for it. Because again, going back to what I said at the beginning, you do what you love as well as what you're good at.
Absolutely. It's playing to those strengths as well, I guess, especially in VCA and then going into picking a university course. But we should probably go back to basics with that language of university, because it can be really confusing for high school students and even people in university to know what those concepts mean that you're referring to when we're talking about courses, majors, specialist subjects, all that sort of stuff. So how would you explain the types of degrees such as bachelor's, honours, diplomas and so on to a student who's trying to pick their course and trying to decide what's right for them?
It almost needs its own dictionary, the dictionary of higher education. I mean, a lot of people I talk to, I say, have you heard of diplomas? And they're like, no, what are they? Advanced diplomas, associate degrees. There's so many different titles these days because the universities are sort of trying to entice students in. So if you don't want to do a 3-year bachelor degree program, which is the first undergraduate degree that you can do out of school, then you might want to do a bit of it, which will only give you a 1-year commitment and that one's called a diploma. So you complete a diploma, you've got 8 units or 6 or 8 units, depending upon the structure of that program, you've got a bit of a degree. It doesn't say on your diploma certification or your transcript that you've got a bit of a degree, it just calls it a diploma. And then you can go and get a job with that diploma, because if that particular job requires a certain skill set and it doesn't need you to have a 3-year bachelor degree, then you may find yourself successfully in the workplace without even continuing in higher education. But yeah, it goes up and through. So beyond a diploma, there's an advanced diploma that can be 2 years, an associate degree, another layer of study that you can go into that's not quite a bachelor degree, but it's, you know, the first, say, 2 years of it. So there are all these different products, basically think of them as products that a university is a provider, and they have all these different products. Sometimes you'll see that a bachelor degree will have a word in brackets after the title that says honours. And that honours degree means that you do a 4th year and you've got this specialisation in that final year that you can really go to town on something. And then Kate alluded to double degrees. They're 2 degrees squished together, say arts and science squished together, if you want to keep your options super broad and do both things and not have to make your mind up too early on. A comprehensive course is, yes, broad, like arts, and a specialist is particular to a certain field. So that might be a Bachelor of Digital Media, nice and specialist. And then within the courses, there's majors and minors and electives. Kate spoke about majors. So if you imagine a course, a bit like your VC subjects being divided up into units, it's the same at university. So a bachelor degree has 24 units and your major is in fact 8 of them. And 8 doesn't sound like many, but if those 8 subjects are all prerequisite for you completing that course, and a lot of them typically tend to be delivered in the first couple of years, you've really got to want to do them. Then you get the opportunity to choose either a second major or a minor, which is 4 units, and then the rest of them are your electives.
Kate mentioned that she engaged a lot with extracurricular activities while she was at uni, which as students, Jemima and I, we both think it's a really important way to feel like you belong at the university. You feel more engaged with what you're doing. But there's other ways to do this. Kate touched on certain curricular activities that she was getting involved in, but it doesn't necessarily have to be those. So how would you encourage students to get involved, and what type of extracurricular activities are there for students at university to get involved with?
Oh, golly, some of the universities have got lots of stuff. You know, they might have a gym, they might have inter-university sports teams and debating clubs and all kinds of different clubs. I remember going to my, what they call it, orientation week or O week, which takes place pretty much immediately after you've enrolled, which is early in the, right at the beginning of the academic year. And so along I trundled to O week and I was overwhelmed. Like there was this walkway and there was a stand for all these different clubs. And so the student advocates, members of those clubs, were all on the stands and they all had their own little bunting or banner or whatever it was. And it was literally like an opportunity for you to go shopping and go, right, what do I want to get involved in? There were international groups. They are great for international students because that means that, you know, if you can meet a group of young people who come from your same country or background, that's fantastic. Oh, I mean, the world's your oyster at universities, and you can come away after 3 or 4 years, however long you spend at an institution, having made some amazing friends if you just allow yourself to immerse in what that campus has to offer, because oftentimes they've got beautiful grounds for you to just walk in or, you know, sit and look at the trees or whatever. A huge temptation if you live in the city in which your university is located is just to go into classes and then come home. And that's such a shame because then you don't necessarily meet lots of new people.
Yeah, it's good to hear too. Obviously, like you mentioned, there's almost really something for everyone.
The other thing that Kate alluded to was the fact that her internship was the most valuable thing, and that she hadn't quite realised that there were some people getting internships and it hadn't even occurred to her that she should be doing that. That's partly because sometimes those comprehensive courses don't necessarily have an internship embedded within them. That's changing. There's lots of work integrated learning taking place in most courses these days because the universities are seeing the value of it. But yeah, to hear that her internship was probably the most valuable thing, aside of all the learning and aside of the socializing and everything as well. Yeah, that's fantastic. And those experiences can open doors. You know, you can find yourself in employment without even missing a beat.
Yeah, and I can't vouch enough for internships and how valuable they are. Myself as a student, I'm currently going through a 12-month internship. It just opens your eyes up to the world and you get so many experiences in the business world that you just didn't think. You just don't get the same learning at university. It's kind of bizarre how that works. University teaches you for all this stuff and then it sort of hits you in the face and you work and you adapt to all different circumstances. And it's kind of like you might think at university you're doing your four subjects a semester if you're full time and you're like, oh, really, a group assignment or something like that. And then if you're doing an internship, it's almost like you've got four or five group assignments constantly on the run and they're changing every week.
Yes, for sure. And you can't separate the two. You know, the internship is embedded within the course, so one comes with the other. So the combination that is then on your resume just speaks volumes and as I say, can open doors even before you've graduated. So it's, yeah, great fun.
Well, that marks the end of this episode. We'd like to say a big thank you to Kate for sharing her journey from high school to her graduate role.
We hope that you were able to take some key points away and can apply these learnings to your own career and schooling journey.
Thank you for listening to the Karen Your Career Coach podcast.
Make sure you stay up to date by heading to Karen's website, karenyourcareercoach.com.au.